We'll go ahead and start our discussion. I hope everyone had a chance to look at the three documents that were routed to you. The first one in the ordinance, there's a couple changes in there. Then in the zoning ordinance, there is some more changes, and I'm trying to remember, I don't have paper copies with me here. In the application form, I believe that should be just the way it was said. I don't remember any changes in that. And so in the enabling ordinance, we made a couple changes. The most significant is in the number of provisioning centers, where we raise the number of provisioning centers, but also refer to the zoning ordinance, because I am proposing that we set maximum numbers in each of those zones. So I'll open this up for discussion now.
Hi, Mayor, Councilwoman Johnston here. On the zoning, I just wanted to clarify, it refers to a maximum of 9 provisioning centers, but the zoning ordinance, it totals 10. Is that just,
yes,
once we hit 9, we're done, as long as they fit within these categories?
Well, it's supposed to be 9. The meeting after this one is talking about rezoning a waterfront marina piece. If that is rezoned to B3, then I'm going to propose that we not have waterfront marine at all in the medical marijuana zoning, because that is the only piece that would likely ever be a storefront. And if it does, if that does not pass, then I would say I would divide those last 3 between 2 for tourist and 1 for waterfront marina. So a total 9.
I gotcha. Thank you.
Mayor, I just have a quick question and kind of want some clarification on your thoughts. This is the first that I've heard of the of potentially limiting it in each zone. What's the, my thought process on this is really getting rid of holding back on zoning as far as that goes, open it up to all zones except for the ones that we don't necessarily want, even if it doesn't necessarily fit, like the tourist or the waterfront, there's one building that might be a storefront. Well, that doesn't mean that later on there may, something may change. So I think that we should, no close to schools, no close to churches, keep that the same, and then not have any zoning regulations on where these can go. And then we have the control, if we move it to 9 provision centers, it's open citywide. Let the existing buildings or the market dictate where people want to put them, is my thought.
Okay. Yeah, I'm okay with that also. I'm just trying to throw an idea out here to try and accommodate everyone that we know who is trying to open a place and not turn anyone away. And your proposal works out for that too.
I think that's the cleanest way to allow people to open one of these facilities wherever they choose to, even if it's a few years from now, and some may close, there's another option there's all sorts of options, I guess.
Right.
I would propose that we look at each one of these little changes and kind of pick these off one at a time and check mark, make sure that we have, that everybody's okay with all of these. And if not, let's have the discussion to see what people's thoughts are on the exact changes that we're making to the wording in both ordinances. This being starting
right,
with enabling ordinance, go through it, and I have a list of some of the changes, and maybe I need to add more, but I think that that's what we should kind of address that and get everybody's feedback on each one of these topics And then if we feel comfortable, then we can potentially schedule these to go to a public hearing once we make changes.
Okay. Yeah, the first one, I think the one that I proposed was moving that to 9, and you're saying those should be unlimited?
No, if we move it to 9, I'm okay with having it having a max number, but not limit what zones.
Okay.
Really, we can address the number. It states in our ordinance, we can address this anytime we want, because it says in there, any time, at least annually, we will talk about it.
Right.
So that's just a process on that.
Okay. Is there anyone else who has comment on that part of this ordinance?
Councilwoman Rapp, did you have a question?
Yes, I just want to say that after reading all the recommended, we tasked the Planning Commission with writing the ordinances, and then they came to the council, and the council looked at them. We made a few changes because some of it was redundant, and I just feel like we're amending the ordinance before we've even had a chance to put it into effect, number one. Number two, I am not in favor of increasing the number of provision centers to 9. I think we should stay with what we started out with, and let's see how it works over the next 12 months. I am not in favor of the 9 provision centers.
Okay,
I'm also
so you're...
I'm not in favor of pretty much sort of negating and invalidating any and all of the work the Planning Commission did. And that goes into the zoning thing, which I'll talk about later.
Right. And yes, they did do a lot of work there, but we have to remember that they're a recommending body, and we have been trying to work with this since the end of February, and we're just don't seem to be making progress in trying to get these places licensed and opened. And that was my concern about trying to make some changes so that we can move ahead.
Well, I don't quite understand why it's not moving ahead. We've got 5-6 applicants, and we only have room for 5. And if all of their applications are complete, why haven't they gone through the presenting to the Planning Commission for their review and bringing it to us? I mean, the process to me seems fairly simple and direct. And yes, we're going to learn that we have to tweak things along the way, but I sort of reiterate what Ms. Sarah said last week about changing things midstream. I'm not comfortable with the direction this is going.
Well, and you asked a great question. Why haven't they moved forward? And in my mind, it seems like the city is getting in the way by having all these time periods that they have to submit stuff and rest until a certain calendar date hits. Then they have to do another step and stop, and then they have to do another step and stop. And my view on that is, if these are legal businesses and we aren't treating any other business like this, why are we doing all the hearings and the site plan reviews, the special use permit? We don't do that for anybody else.
Well, I have a feeling, and I can't speak for the Planning Commission directly as far as their rationale behind it, but as far as the special use permit, I believe they wanted that in there specifically so that they could vet some of the applicants, which I don't think is a bad idea.
Well,
can I interject a little bit, Mayor?
Yeah.
I just want to, Diane, appreciate your thoughts, and I had the same initial thoughts going into this on a couple of your points, but I've come to a different recollection as far as that goes, just with my mindset. I put through the things that the concerns that you have with I guess it seems like we're kind of trumping what the Planning Commission has already put a bunch of work into, and that was my thought. I'm like, that's not really that fair to Mark's point is that they recommend something, we're the body that adopts it, we have the, kind of the final say. But I appreciate all the work that the Planning Commission did. I don't want to discredit any of that stuff. And the Planning Commission has been working hard to follow the rules that we have put in place, that they recommended we put in place. So I totally agree with you as far as that goes. Although to Mark's kind of point, to answer why we are tweaking this, you mentioned we needed to tweak this maybe and tweak it. We do. We absolutely have to fix this ordinance, these ordinances, so that they work in the situation that we are in right now. And that's the way I feel where we're at, is that we don't need the Planning Commission to do any vetting of a business that already has to do two things. It really boils to one. They have to adhere to all of our rules and fill out our application and adhere to the rules on that. And that includes the state regulations. So by anybody else, why would anybody else need to vet an individual business? It's up to the business to be able to put whatever they want to put in that's legal, that they have made the plans to do, and then let the market decide whether it was a good business. If they break the rules, they won't have that license. After an annual review of the permit comes through, the zoning administrator, that's what's being proposed, that it goes to the zoning administrator. They have the opportunity to look at this, look at the business. This is, they're following all the rules. Okay, they get it again. I mean, that's where I'm at with that.
Thank you, Nick.
Well, and to your from, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello, can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah.
One of the proposed changes was changing it to, the applicant goes to the city clerk and the zoning administrator, and you eliminated the Planning Commission and the council, which is what my understanding was, is that the city manager did not want it to stop with him or her, but he wanted it to go through council for final approval. Now that's
a change, yes. And you're sort of breaking up, Diane, but I think what you're asking is, we originally had a vote by Planning Commission and then a vote by council to allow these businesses. My right. thinking when I started looking at this is, why are we doing it for this business? Why aren't they being treated like a retail business? And if we look at our zoning provisions for retail businesses, they are permitted to open without having hearing. And that's sort of where my thinking landed. And that was my question to the city attorney and the city manager. I said, why can't these be retail businesses? And they both said, there's no reason they can't.
Can we ask what everybody else is feeling on this specific topic, going from 5 to 9 facilities?
I can't see if anyone else has their hand up on my phone, but I'll go ahead and chime in. I'm not in favor of going to 9. I could see maybe going up 1. As I said before, I'm more concerned with the downtown district at this point. I don't want to go up there specifically. I mean, I saw that it said right now there would be 2 in the downtown district. You know, I think that's probably reasonable, but I think 9 over the whole city is more than I was looking at. That's where I'm
at. Yeah, I settled on 9 because we have 7 businesses or people interested talk to us, and so I just wanted to put a little bit of cushion here. If we have 7 now and we raise it to 7, then next week we have another person. Do we raise it to 8? So I just said, why don't we raise it to 9?
Yeah, I understand.
So that was just a random number that you just pulled out because we have now 7 interested versus 6 applicants?
Right. We have 7 people interested. One of them is in the tourist zone, and I don't know if that's why they haven't done much work yet. But I was just wanted to make sure that we had enough there that we're accommodating the interests that there may be out there.
Mayor Bronson, I also have a question about that. One of the original 6 that we have spoken of in the past, I believe one of those is in the the waterfront district, which has not been rezoned for them to even be considered. So why wouldn't we look at that applicant and say, well, you're not in a zoned area, we have to eliminate you, and now we're back to the original 5?
When they were filling out their permit, they were told that there is a process for rezoning property, and it was shown to them and spelled out, and they're just following through what they were advised by the city administration. And rezoning is a normal process that's happened for many things.
I'm going to say it again, and I've said it before. It just feels like we're making an exception to allow them in by getting it rezoned when we really already have 5 that are in the originally approved zoning areas. And it starts to feel real murky to me. That's all I'm saying. And I'm also speaking for my constituents.
I'll just ask for other questions.
All right.
Mayor, this is Tom Eustace. Let me try to clarify that a little bit. And I mentioned this last week at Thursday night's meeting. The enabling ordinance doesn't have anything to do with zoning. It is a permit for a marijuana facility in the city of Sheboygan, no matter where it's located. Then you have to go through the zoning process to actually be able to qualify to sell medical marijuana based on the zoning ordinance. So I said this last Friday night, we should have already issued these 5 permits based on the current ordinance.
Including the one that's not zoned properly right now, correct?
Yes. Yes. Yep. And they submitted their application. Again, the application shows a proposed location, but you can put 15 proposed locations there. It's not related to zoning. The actual opening of the facility is related to zoning. But to actually get the permit, it doesn't say anything about having a parcel in the zone. There's only one person that owns a property right now. So it's, you can't say that, well, yeah, they're in the right zone. Well, nobody has any property other than John Stripebatter in the zone. So they all have to go through processes. The way they're written right now, they all have to go through special use permit. So
let's let them do that. Haven't some of them already gone through that process, Tom?
I actually have now 2 full applications that could go through special use permit. But that's, and looking at that, however, it's a for what they've done and what they have, they do it anyway. It's just a, it's a process that is cumbersome, and they aren't going to be denied. I mean, these retail businesses are going through unbelievable regulatory systems that the state of Michigan mandates and follows. We can't put anything on this retail business any greater than the state of Michigan already has. And there isn't really anything we can do. So, Tom,
I understand. I really do understand that. But I also understand what you're saying is that two of these applicants have also gone through even more rigorous expectations that we put on them according to the current ordinance. And it seems to me it's a no-brainer that at least move those two forward and give them their permit, because they've jumped through every hoop we've thrown at them. And we've got one applicant that you're rezoning for, which you say is normal. I understand what you're saying about trying to make it simpler, but I also think that we should honor the work we did, the work the Planning Commission did, and the ordinances we originally approved. That's it.
I have a comment. I saw in the new proposal that it said they have to make substantial progress, so I'm assuming that's the whole year. I guess my thought is it would make sense to put a time limit on that business making some kind of progress, any kind of progress, you know, 3 months or 6 months or something, just so they're not sitting on it, I guess, is my thought.
I agree, Brett. Well, respectfully, though, I think we need to address each one of these separately. That's moving down the list. Before we get ahead of ourselves, we got to take each one of these changes, or else we got to rewrite everything again. I don't know what everybody's feeling on the first things we're talking about here. I heard six would make more sense. I heard no, not at all.
I think you're right. We should look at each one individually.
Do you want me to do a roll call and ask each person?
I don't know if that's the right way to go about this. I don't know if we need to talk. We're getting it gets a little bit muddy with that, how we're going back and forth from a couple different options as far as that goes. But
right.
I mean, all at the end of the day, we have to make a decision on this whole process or tweak the wording in the zone. So without being in a room together and being able to put on a board this list, I don't want to talk in circles for 2 hours.
Yep. So we've Brett said maybe six. Nick, you're not in favor of any limits.
I don't care what the limits are for. If we go up to six only, I'm fine with that, because we need to make the six applicants available, because all of them have been either promised that they're going to be allowed or they're fully qualified to do so. And we have six available right now.
I think the only way I would go with six is if we were to limit that downtown district to two as well in some way.
Councilwoman Johnson, and, do you have something to
I was just going to say that I personally don't have a problem with nine. I do think nine's plenty, that I wouldn't feel the need to revisit this issue again. As a compromise between no changes and unlimited, I'm okay with nine.
Thank you.
I'm okay with nine, but I'm also okay with six, because I think it'll still get things moving. So either one, I'm okay with.
Agreed, and I do like that the new zoning ordinance specifies a maximum number in each zone. So having a maximum of two in zone B2, I think will satisfy a lot of concerned people.
Is that one of the proposals is two in B2, which is the downtown?
Yes.
How many applicants are there right now for B2 out of the six?
Two.
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 Okay.
So it's not going
to. I would agree to it. I'm not in favor of limiting where somebody can put their business, as long as it's not next to a school or a church or anywhere else. It doesn't really make sense because this is a retail business in my opinion. But I'm okay with if that's what has to happen to let these people go through.
Okay. I heard somebody else trying to talk.
I was just going to agree with what Nick just said. I agree with that.
Okay.
Okay, so we've discussed the 5 to 9. Is Vaughn, do you have anything to say? Is Vaughn on tonight?
Not really. I don't really agree with the 9. One of the questions I have, and I think I asked it before, is what if this got out of hand down the road? Is there any way that we can stop this?
Well, we address the number of them each year.
I think if we allow them in, they're going to have to not comply with state guidelines or something of ours that, in order to say no, they can't get another permit. So, you know, legal reason.
Yeah.
But that if it gets out of hand, I guess that's a pretty general statement. But if it gets out of hand, that would be probably breaking one of those rules, I would guess.
And I would go along with the 6 applicants that have already pretty much, well, they have completed applications, as Tom pointed out last Thursday. And 2 of them have gone through even more rigorous review and, you know, putting together things. I would still like to see it go as it was originally written through review by the Planning Commission and then sent to the Council for final approval. Okay. I don't think it has to take that long. I don't think it has to take that long.
The issue I have with that, Diane, is that as Tom stated, they cannot be denied. So why are we asking them to come and do a public hearing if the answer is going to be yes anyway?
Well, why do they have to do a public hearing if we're just receiving their material and it's been reviewed? No, what?
A site plan review is
requires
a hearing. This is so not necessary to do this. Nobody, no other business has to go through this process unless they're building a new building or adding addition to a building. That's what a site plan review is. We're not taking away what the Planning Commission did. All it's taking away is their opportunity, I would suppose, to vet, which is unnecessary. That's what the zoning administrator would be for, any other business. I'm 100% behind.
Well, I'm not 100% with that, but I would go along with the 6.
All right.
Should we move it to 6? Should we change it?
6 seems like the common ground right now.
It does. And we'll have to do something different with the zoning ordinance then. So, well, if we move a 6.
Well, we got to figure it out tonight. I would like to move this through. So,
yep.
I don't think we need to go to 6. I think we can open it to 9. I would like to know if we, I don't know if we're have enough votes to do that. And it is what it is, but
um, Well, if we stayed at six, this is what would happen in the zoning part, is that we would eliminate the waterfront marine and the T1, and then it would be two in B2 and four in B3. That holds all the current applicants harmless.
Let's do this. Let me suggest this. Instead of limiting in each one of these zones, what's wrong with opening it up to all the zones and limiting it two into B2? Two in B2, and then the rest can go anywhere they want other than next to schools and churches. Why limit it? Why hold this back?
Yeah, that could work too.
Does anybody have that?
I would support that. I think that B2 is the contentious zone, and I don't see any issues with any others.
I would probably agree. Be good with that. I guess it wouldn't hurt to take one more look at the map, you know, just to make sure we're not missing anything from those areas we're opening up. But yeah, I think I'd
be done at the public hearing, correct?
We still have to have a public hearing. Yeah, we're just agreeing on the language for the public hearing tonight.
Right. And we got to get it done.
Where exactly is B2?
Tom, will you address that, please?
Yeah, the Central Business District, which is B2, is from State Street to Elm Street, which is the post office. It ends at the post office and First Community Bank. Right on Main Street, yep.
My next question would be for, if Mr. Lindsay is on, would it be if we went to just limiting in any zone, including this B2, are we setting ourselves up for the limitation that, I mean, we don't have any more than two in that zone right now, but can we do that? This is my question.
Am I unmuted?
Yes, you are.
Okay. It's a very interesting question. There's a lot of dynamics in play, one of which is applicants pushing to resolve and they want to open and expand their investment. Another is a feeling of limiting directly downtown businesses, and also a feeling of opening up opportunities on corridors east and west. Now, trying to get to your question, this project that we're in right now is designed to accommodate the applicants we have with a little wiggle room, which are now restricted to not be in B2, which seems to be a very important position, council members and a lot of citizens as well, and I understand that. So we came up with a concept of trying to break through the log jam of getting applicants processed and also accommodating all existing applicants and getting them processed. And the concept of what you're looking at tonight, Council, is to treat the medical marijuana applicants like anybody else who wants to open a bookstore or a pharmacy. Maybe a pharmacy would be more appropriate. Something that is regulated by the state or licensed by the state, but otherwise is permitted, such as one of our, you know, any one of the many drinking establishments downtown. They're approved by the state to sell liquor. There they go. So the latest attempt, what you have in front of you, is to allow a path forward for every applicant we have. Limit the B2 to two, and allocate other opportunities in other zones, so someone else has a place to go. And that way, we've accommodated all of our applicants. We can now move forward And we're removing from the ordinances the process of applying, sending plans to the fire department and the police department and all of that, which the state application covers and their standards cover, and normalize the applications to do business in the city of Sheboygan down to what you or I might run into if you wanted to open a shoe store. So that is the overall theme of what you have in front of you. Resolve the roadblocks, leave licensing to the state, and treat these provisioning centers as any other permitted use. I'll leave the numbers up to you, but number nine I have no investment in. Certainly if we accommodate six, we are dealing with our present applicants and removing their roadblocks and opening the door to investment. And that is what you have in front of you. I hope that answered your question, Councilman Kuchar.
I guess in a roundabout way, I just want to know can we limit in B2 district to two and not limit anywhere else, and that be okay legally?
Whatever council chooses.
If it's in the ordinance, it would be okay. If we make that the ordinance, correct?
Yeah, unless, council proceeds, wait a minute. Maybe we want to limit in some other zone. And if not, we could limit B2 to new provisioning centers and let the other 5, 6, 9, whatever the number might be, fall as they may. I'm not a fan of it because then we're back into the race and complaints like we have now. If we limit the numbers in the zone, we know when they're filled, and if someone comes to City Hall with $5,000 in an application, we say, we're not going to take your $5,000, and we're not going to accept your application because that zone is full. And I would appreciate that kind of finality. It would certainly make life simpler for myself and City Hall.
So in answer to Nick's question, if I understand this correctly, if our ordinance says, okay, we will, let's say we're going to expand it to the 6 current, we're going to limit 2 to B2, whatever we put in the ordinance, only 2 to B2 or only 1 to B3 and only, that whatever we put in the ordinance legally protects us. I mean, we are the municipality setting up the standards that we want to present to our community. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is that we seem to be agreeing on expanding this 2-6 with 2 as the maximum number in B2 and the remaining number in any of the zoning districts we may add to the B3.
I concur with that. I don't like that we're restricting that number in B2 because I don't think you should restrict it, but I'll go along with that if everybody else will.
I'm into it.
Okay.
That sounds good.
Okay. So
Sarah?
Yep, I'm in agreement with that.
Okay.
Good.
All right. All right, Nick.
Let's address substantial progress has to be made in some of the language instead of putting a time limit on.
Well, if you just say substantial progress, that is not a standard. I mean, that could be argued. What does that mean?
Exactly. I don't. If we're going to put anything like that, that's not the language we need.
Right. And I'm just saying, if you haven't moved forward for a hearing or tried to open a shop in a year, then maybe you should step out of the way and let somebody who's actually going to open a business have a chance.
So what
is there some kind of language if we wanted to do that, is there some kind of language we can put in there? You have to have done this, this, or this within 3 or 6 months. You know, one of these list of things, or you will be moved to the bottom of the list, let's say.
Or even putting like maybe like an expiration date on the application of some sort.
Well, they have an annual expiration date now.
Yeah, but we talked about that last Thursday also, as far as, yeah, you know, somebody by, you know, filling out the application and then sitting on it for an indefinite amount of time. And I think that would be more fair to somebody that's coming in. They fill it all in. We give them, you know, 90 days to turn everything in and make it complete, all boxes. And if they're not, then we go on to the next guy.
So
okay.
If we put this to six, does that change the order at all of how they are like in line to go or no?
It does not change it, but it accommodates everyone who is ready to go now.
Okay.
And if we make the changes that I proposed, then it would simply be the zoning administrator said, okay, you've met all the stuff and we're ready to go. There's no public hearings. There's no site plan review, no special use permit.
And then how about, should this section 12105 permit renewal, a valid marijuana facility permit may be renewed on an annual basis, provided that substantial progress has been made towards opening an operating facility determined by the zoning administrator. I mean, putting that in there gives the leeway at renewal time for that permit that the zoning administrator could say, nope, you have not made enough progress, move forward.
I'm good with that.
But then does that put unfair pressure on Tom that someone's going to come after him because he determined their progress to be unsatisfactory and somebody else's was okay?
They have a remedy when the zoning administrator denies, there's a system set for them to appeal that.
And they would go appeal to the zoning board, right? Zoning Board of Appeals?
Yes.
Yes, that's right. You go to the Zoning Board of Appeals.
And then after that, they can go to Circuit Court, correct?
That's right.
Correct.
Yep.
So this Tom, would give them the legal ramification to fix that.
Tom, are you comfortable with being the last, you know, where the buck stops?
Yeah, I mean, that's my responsibility. If that's what the ordinance says, I gotta enforce the ordinance.
I know that, but are you comfortable with that? Because I believe you initially did not want to be the last word on that. I just want we're making all these accommodations for a whole lot of people to bring business in, and I appreciate that.
Sure.
I also want to appreciate what, you know, the people of the city and the business owners are interested in, but also you in your position or the person that follows your, you know,
right. Right.
In your footsteps. I mean, yes, I know, yeah, you have to go along with whatever we say, but is that something that you think, is that where it should stop?
Yeah, I am comfortable with that. And more so than what I was early on in this process. That's why I did make the statement that I would rather have council make a final decision on any of these permits and revoking their permits. But it is so much clearer to me now. The quality of the people that we're dealing with. This is a really, really regulated operation. These folks that are applying for these permits for the city have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to get to this point. They do whatever you ask them to do. So I don't think any of these current applicants will do anything that is going to violate our city ordinances. And if they violate the state ordinances are so, so much more vigorous, for lack of a better word, that we're not going to pull somebody's permit before the state does. The state, if anybody's going to pull a permit to do business in the city of Sheboygan, the state of Michigan is going to do it. So yeah, I'm comfortable with that, because if they do anything wrong that's out of our ordinance, they'll violate state law too. They'll have already done that. So
I have a question. Two questions. One is, what if, for instance, if somebody, I get a permit and I put my business in, and then I sell my permit. Is that something that a licensed through the state of Michigan and permitted through the city of Sheboygan, if they sell that permit, do we have any recourse if they sell it to a less than desirable entity? That's number one. And number two, I just have a question about special use permit and what that means and when it applies.
Okay.
I know I looked it up. I Wikipedia'd it and all that stuff and went on the MML site, but I'd like to hear you clarify that for me, please.
Yes. In regard to the transfer of a permit, under section 121.06A, permittees may transfer a permit issued under this ordinance to a different location upon appropriate resolution by city council. And I think it goes on to say, under B, if the state licensing authorities have approved a permit transfer, permittees may transfer a permit issued under this ordinance to a different individual or entity upon receiving written approval by the city council. So a transfer from one property to another, or a transfer from one owner to another, must be an adopted resolution of the city council.
Okay. So it can't just happen without the council, the city or council knowing about it.
Yeah, absolutely not. Yep.
Okay.
Exactly. And what?
Special
use permit. And exactly what you want me to address there? Is it?
Well, when would a business, I mean, I know I read what it says, but when would we, why did we originally require that of this, in this particular ordinance?
Yes. We got to that point because we were all uncomfortable. The Planning Commission, myself, mainly the Planning Commission. We had a lot of discussion about why we need a special use permit. The answer was, the Planning Commission wants to know what these buildings look like. They want to know, you know, what the signage is, what they, you know, that we want to make sure they're not putting up a big marijuana leaf, and we want to make sure they're just not going to come in and paint a dilapidated building. That was a big concern. Like, so let's use a special use permit process, which in the special use permit process, it includes site plan review, which is Article 8 of the ordinance, which most everything in that process is non-applicable. It's to an existing building if you're not going to put an addition on, or it's not a new building. So I think the Planning Commission and even myself early on wanted to see what these buildings are going to look like, a rendition, and we wanted to see how these facilities were going to be used. I now believe that they go way above and beyond what we asked for in a special use permit. That's why it's, in my opinion, and the mayor's opinion, and Stephen Lindsay's opinion, we had a lot of discussion about it. It's really a process that isn't necessary. It just doesn't make sense at this point, because everything's in place. They've gone far beyond what we can put them through. And you can put parameters in the ordinance, and I've made this statement to a couple of council people, but these investors, if we put in the ordinance that you can't have a medical marijuana facility within 300 feet of any other building, they'll buy a city block and tear all the buildings down. I mean, that's what kind of capital they have. That's what they're looking at. We can't get in their way. It's a choice of whether we're going to allow medical marijuana or not, because these investors will do what's necessary to do business in your community. And they're all good people. I mean, I've dealt with all six of these applicants for about a year, and these are all good folks we're bringing to Sheboygan. So I don't know if that answers your question or not, Diane, but.
Well, yes and no. It seemed to me that it was sounded like a good idea. And I understand that, unfortunately, with the special use permit, it requires a site plan review. And I realize that that is normally not ever required of an existing structure. It's only if you're, right. Tearing down and redoing it. And I get all that. It's too bad that that's in there, because the special use sounds like a good idea to me. But, and I have no doubt, what you said about these people and your experience in dealing with them. I have no doubt that they are, they're not coming in here with, a couple bucks in their pocket. And I anticipate that they're going to enhance the existing buildings that we may, permit them to run their business in. But I just want it, I said it before, changing horses in midstream, changing all this in midstream. But if we can go with the six, limit the two to B2, I could go with that.
All right. Any other comments from council?
Are there anything in the two ordinances that anybody has any questions about? I've went over the stuff that I had questions about as far as that goes, and the actual changes to be made. I mean, there's quite a bit of language, but a lot of it is just removing stuff if we're going to change this.
Right. Yeah, you have to see what the original language was when also see the new language, that's part of the requirement.
I have a question, and it might be moot, I'm not sure, but in one of the things that were crossed out, it had to do with, the site plan review or something, but it said it said we would evaluate the setback from residential. I guess, would there be any reason to, if we open up all zones, would there be a reason to need to have a different setback from, and this might not even be what it's talking about, but would there be a reason to have a different setback from people's homes for something like this? You know what I'm saying?
I thought this wasn't allowed in residential at all.
It's not. He's saying if it's bordering residential. And there are rules about how we address transition places, like between a business zone and a residential zone. In our ordinance, it says you have to have a certain kind of barrier, and regulates lighting and that kind of stuff. So I think within our current rules that we are protecting people that may be near, a business, and we do that for all types of businesses.
Sure, I just I understand it said the smell can't be I think that's already in the ordinance. You can't, you're not supposed to smell it from off the property, basically. I just, you know, thought that
right.
If somebody had a different opinion or some situation where that question might be applicable, maybe they can bring it up at the public hearing then.
That's true. If there's no more comments from council, I would like to open this up for comments from the public, and then the council can come back.
Before we open it up, Mayor, I just kind of to
yes.
What I have my notes on the changes that we could be making to, because it's going to be a little different than what the ordinance says. We're going to move to six provisioning centers. We're going to change that number to six provisioning centers, correct?
Yes.
We're going to also change the zoning. We're going to only allow two provisioning centers in B2 and then no other restrictions in any other of the business zones, or we need to be specific on which zones are allowed?
Yeah. We would then say the remaining ones would be allowed in if we, right now we have B3 as the next allowed one, but if we add T1 and WM,
yes,
then those four would be divvied up. I mean, it wouldn't, right, they're allowed in those areas basically on the first come, first serve application process.
Are there other, what are the other zones? Other, I mean, I know there's residential, which we wouldn't want to add. What about?
There's industrial and light industrial.
Would we add those two?
I don't think so, because that's where your grow facility, all the other facilities have to be in those areas.
Right.
And we're talking about just about the provisioning storefront.
Right.
The tourist service district was one of the zones. What is that exactly, approximately, I guess?
I'll let Tom answer that one.
There's the main area is Mackinac Avenue. All of the, most of the hotels along Mackinac Avenue are in the tourist service district. Yex Drive-In, that area. From Kiwanis Park to the former racquetball club on Mackinac Avenue, on both sides of the road is tourist service.
There is a lot of residential in there. Is there a way to deal with that? I mean, in the current ordinance?
Yeah, that's a good point, because there are some residences along Mackinac Avenue.
I know, Tom, you had indicated to me, this is Diane, that, like, for instance, the old fish market that's no longer open, that's commercial, and it's in a residential area, and that was a big to-do at one time.
Sure.
And I would think that it would behoove the city to avoid having to go through something like that again, just making sure that if these provisioning centers do go in the T1 area, that there's no... the boundaries are clear and fair and satisfying to everyone as far as residential. I just think that's the right way to go.
Right. I'm just going to look at that area.
What about all of the housing projects on Mackinac Avenue?
Part Mackinac Apartments is in residential multifamily. That's that part of the area, that side of the road, and that complex is in residential multifamily.
And what about Park Place Apartments, like Kiwanis Park?
That's in residential multifamily too. That's right where it starts from. The east end, once you get by Mackinac Apartments, that turns into tourist service all along there. So, and there are houses in there.
And you obviously wouldn't want to have something, you know, I think the same boundaries where, like we did for schools, you would, I think, would apply to parks where there are kids.
It says that in the ordinance now, yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought, thanks.
If it's, yeah, specifically for kids. And you could, well, you could argue Kiwanis Park is that, because.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you could be a big kid and go there, but it's primarily children.
Right.
Yeah, I still want to understand special use. You know, I read under what circumstances, and I think one of the circumstances was when, you know, when a municipality is reviewing or looking at businesses in an area and wanting them to blend nicely. You know, like you wouldn't necessarily want to put in a strip joint next to Stormy Cromer. Because it just, it doesn't blend with the feeling and the values of that community. And I do know that that's one of the times that you can impose that. And I think that the planning, you know, I want to be cautious to not rule out or eliminate the planning commission involvement in the process. And I may be mucking it up again, but you know, I'm trying to look at it from all sides in all fairness. And I don't want to take too much time because I know we have public comment that we want to hear.
Sure. That's a good point, Diane. I mean, but I don't think in this case, and we've, the mayor and I and our city attorneys had a lot of conversation about it. I don't think this retail product is any different than other retail products that are sold in those districts. It's, you know, people have a lot of misnomers about what these facilities are going to look like and what they do.
They're fully enclosed.
They're, you know, you use special use permits for, you know, unusual things, like you said, like strip joints or, you know, porn stores or that type of stuff that are really, really invasive. These facilities are so strictly regulated by the state of Michigan.
Yeah, I understand
that they grossly outweigh what we can do to not permit them.
Okay.
So it's tough, and they have rights. These people have rights too. If we're going to allow medical marijuana to be sold in our community, then they have rights to be able to do that. We just got to set the parameters of where they can do it.
Yeah.
And it just so happens that B2 and B3 are two of the districts that they can sell. So there isn't anything that we can do or should do to stop them, because they aren't going to do anything outside of the special use permit standards. They're going to adhere to those standards better than any other retail business in the city of Sheboygan. So that's why I'm saying it's a process that does, we don't need to put these people through that process. They've done over and above what we require.
Let's just say for an example, I don't think this will ever happen, but a business decides to buy a house right in the middle of the residential on Mackinac Avenue, and in those houses, and they build a facility. You know, they buy two houses and they put a big facility there. What is the setback? I mean, is there anything right now stopping them from doing that? Because I guess I would.
Well, yes, there is, because they couldn't. Those houses are zoned R1. And if they buy them, they would have to abide by the zoning.
I thought that was the tourist district there.
Yes, there are some houses in the tourist service district, but yeah,
okay.
It's a business district. I mean, it just happens to have houses there. So, I mean, that could happen. Yes, there's.
I guess I was just thinking, is there a would it be reasonable to think, okay, you have to be 50 feet away from another house or, you know, something like that?
I think that gets beyond what we want to do here. I guess I would feel more comfortable in not including T1 as a permitted zone.
I'm just thinking in some of those other zones that we're including, is there the same situation?
Yeah, there's a couple situations where it applies in the B3 district. But it's a commercial zone. I mean, it's just because there's a house in a B3 district, you got to abide by the B3 ordinance.
When you buy a house, you know what zone it is and what are your potential neighbors.
Yes.
You can't control what the people next to you do. Even in an R1, you can't control necessarily what your neighbors, what color they paint their house or what smells come from their house, you know?
So is it possible, we had a question from one of our listeners that somebody could put open up a bar in the tourist district on Mackinac?
Well, I guess they could buy a building. They'd have to get a liquor license from the state.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if they got
there's,
one?
There's a lot. I suppose in a business district, if that's an allowed use in that business district, yeah.
Yep, and it is. You can put a bar. You can put a bar restaurant in the tourist service, or just a bar.
Uh huh. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Shall we ask the public for some comments?
Absolutely.
Did we figure out the things that we're changing, that we're agreeing to change so that the public can comment on those, essentially?
They've seen some of those people have seen the draft, but we are talking about changing to 6 provisioning centers. The permitting in B2, but only 2 as a maximum. And then there are 4 other permits, but we haven't really decided where those 4 other permits can be used other than B3.
Well, I think what's on the table is to allow them in T1, W, waterfront, and B3, right?
That's what I had put in there. And so, yeah, I think that we won't need waterfront marine. And I'm okay with people have with hesitation on the mixed use in T1 of eliminating that area.
Well, the waterfront marine is one of the applicants that we are trying to get, and if we don't allow that, they won't be allowed in unless planning.
Well, they have a hearing tonight to change that to B3.
They could be denied.
They could, but I don't see any reason why they would be.
Agreed. I'm just saying.
There's no reason to deny them.
There's no reason to limit these, is my whole thing.
Right.
Let's make these zones available for people to put if they choose to.
Any other thoughts from council then on the T1 and WM?
I'm probably okay with keeping those in there. I just wanted to bring that up in case anybody had a
okay
point about that.
All right.
Mayor?
Yes.
Out where the tourist is, out by Mackinac Avenue there's a lot more residential there than anything else. There's an awful lot of homes out there.
Yes, I understand. So what do are you in favor or not in favor?
Well, I hate to see in the midst of all those homes, something like that go in?
Something like what?
Okay.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, that's as bad as putting them next to a school.
I haven't heard from some of the other council members, Ashley and Sarah.
I personally don't see the need to include those two zones, the waterfront marina and the tourist zone. I'm also not really opposed to having them in there. I also share concerns with the fact that Mackinac Avenue is primarily residential, so I think I would prefer to see that one not included, but.
Okay.
Perhaps just do the water and then not the other.
Yeah, I would go with that too, Ashley.
Isn't one of the applicants in the tourist district?
No.
Not currently. There is an applicant, a potential applicant.
Okay.
That is thinking about a medical marijuana provisioning center in the tourist district.
Are they bordering a current zone where they could go through the same process and trying to get that rezoned, or would that be more of a spot zoning?
It would be spot zoning. They're right in the middle of a long tourist district.
Do they have this fight in the future?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
How far they are in the state licensing process either.
Right.
I'm just saying, even though they're in a resident, there's residents around there, they're in a business district.
Right.
Yes.
I mean,
it's possible they could get a variance to because it is a business district, to sell medical marijuana in that district without changing the zoning.
Are you talking about Mackinac Avenue?
Yes.
Well, they had to at one time change that to a business district because those homes were there long before the businesses came in.
Sure. Oh, yes.
I think they would.
All right. So
I know I've lived here 74 years, and they've always been a lot of homes in there.
So what I'm hearing right now is, as far as the zoning, B2, B3 in Waterfront Marina.
Okay. I would go with that.
Yeah.
I have no problem with that.
Okay, sounds like that would be the language. And then how about the language on removing special use? Anybody have any issue with that other than Diane?
I don't.
Neither do I.
I don't think I do.
Okay. Is that all the changes we propose?
That's the three things that we've talked about. I mean, it removes quite a bit of the language, but it all has to do with special use in the zoning one, so.
Right. Yeah, when we make it a permitted use, it takes out the special use.
Correct. I would be okay with listening to public comments now, for sure.
All right. Bridget, would you go ahead and do that, please?
Sure. We'll go ahead and get started with caller 8831. If you have any comments for council tonight, please start by introducing yourself by first and last name.
No comment at this time, but thank you.
Thank you. We'll move on to caller 8000.
No comment or questions.
And up next, we have caller 6194.
Yes, this is Matt LaHaye. Been listening. Sounds like a great meeting of compromise and looking to move everything forward. A lot of anxious people ready to make their mark in Sheboygan. So keep up the good work. That's all.
Thank you, Matt. We'll move on to caller 6027.
Pass, thank you.
Thank you, and we'll move on to caller 4977.
Pass, thanks.
Next up, we have caller 4103.
Hi, everyone. Sharon Lang tonight. I have the pleasure of sitting at the Coop this evening with six potential council candidates. Actually, there was a casual gathering of persons who may be interested in running for office, and we had hoped that this meeting wouldn't happen and we would have had a couple of council members present help answer their questions in person. But as it turns out, listening to your meeting live with these six folks has proved to be quite valuable, I hope, and we're thinking that maybe we have some people who are going to be running for some seats. So thanks for letting us all listen.
Thank you, Sharon. We'll move on to caller 3499. Caller 3499, did you have any comments for council tonight? Okay, and we will go ahead and move on to caller 3414.
Jim Granger, I'll save my comments for the Planning Commission meeting. Thanks.
Thank you, Jim. We'll go ahead and move on to caller 3119.
Hi, Mike Grisdale. Enjoy listening to the meeting at home or while I'm walking my dog or driving around town. I appreciate that, but looking forward to when we have these meetings back in public again. Especially with public hearings coming up. I think it's important, and I hope City Council can work towards that. That's all I have.
Thank you, Mike. We'll go ahead and move on to caller 2729.
This is John Costin. Thanks for the discussion, ladies and gentlemen, this evening. I do believe you have actually made some progress, which is good after this has been going on for such a long time. I am a little surprised at the discussion around the special use permit, because it's gone from being absolutely necessary to not being required at all. And I don't understand that, because it did provide the Planning Commission with an opportunity to check and balance the proposals, and I think you've just, in a way, disenfranchised the Planning Commission and taken responsibility away from them, which I regret, because I think they've done a lot of good work. That's all.
Thank you, John. We'll move on to caller 2004.
No comment. Thank you.
Thank you. And up next, we have caller 1986.
Hi there, Dave Kronberg here. We can't pretend that marijuana is like every other retail product out there. It's illegal on the federal level, it's illegal in the majority of states. So it is not like every other retail establishment there is. If the special use permit gives the Planning Commission or the city the opportunity to influence the location and composition of businesses in our city, then I think that we ought to retain that power. Because, like I said, marijuana is not like every other retail product. The city should be determining how many medical marijuana facilities it wants, not the number of people wanting to open medical marijuana facilities, determining for us how many we should allow. There's one pharmacy downtown that seems to serve all the other prescription drug needs of the community downtown. How many medical marijuana prescription facilities do we need downtown or in our commercial districts? So that's what I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, David. And we will move on to caller 1136.
Trudy Lofgren. I would just like to comment that I am glad you limit it to two on Main Street. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Trudy. And we'll go ahead and move on to caller 0518.
Hi, this is Christy Kelly. Thanks for tonight's discussion. We're looking forward to reviewing the updated proposal and appreciate everything that's come up. Want to put a fine point on some of the community discussions that took place. You know, I think in some of the discussions, there has been a separation between the needs of investors and the business community and then the needs of residents. But I think that good business and the community can work together in tandem and address the community concerns. I hope that our business has an opportunity to do so. And wanted, for the benefit of those who had listened to some of the earlier comments about the caliber and nature of the business operators, that look, we're experienced operators and businesses are accustomed to working within the concerns and considerations of the community. So hopefully all of us are prepared, the applicant pool, to step up and do so. And we hope that we have an opportunity to do so.
Thank you, Christy. And we'll go ahead and move on to caller 0409.
This is John Stripmatter. Just wanted to thank City Council and City leadership for all of their hard work on this. No other comment at this time.
Thank you, John. And we will go ahead and move on to caller RJ Archambault.
Thanks, Bridget. This is RJ Archambault. I just want to echo what I've been hearing and thank the council for their hard work and finding a way through this. And I'll reserve further comments for when I get a chance to see the new draft ordinance. Thanks again.
Thank you, RJ. And up next, we have Linda Rogers.
Hi, I am planning commissioner and I just wanted to echo John Costin's comments and also David Kronberg. I think at the very least, any business in B2 should have opportunity to be vetted by the planning commission with a special use permit and the site review. And I'll save further comments to our planning commission meeting in 3 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. And up next, we have Christine King.
Oh. Hi, Bridget. This is Christine. I think it's sounding like the Planning Commission's feeling very much in agreement about the special use permit. And I don't like the idea of the vetting that we are going to sit and judge. But we were actually answering the call from community members that had a high anxiety about medical marijuana, even in the city of Sheboygan. And many cities said no medical marijuana. So to address those concerns and those anxieties about, like as Dave said, something that's completely new. So it's not just any old business, but something that's very new to our country and too new to our community in terms of its partial legality. We were really actually addressing the concerns of the community when we put the special use permit. It was considered a safety valve, not so much that we can sit in judgment, but we actually would see that this was a legitimate business and the people there had community interests. So I also feel like that was our addressing the needs of the community, and for some reason that doesn't seem to be a concern to the council. And I'll save the rest of my comments for Planning Commission.
Thank you, Christine. And up next, we have Bill Hornbett. Bill, did you have any comments for council tonight?
His mic is on.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes, now again.
Okay, well, I don't have any comments. I'm just listening in. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Bill. And Mayor, that was all of the public participants tonight.
All right. Looks like we're crowding up to the Planning Commission meeting. Do we want the city attorney to incorporate the changes that we have talked about so that we can review that and then schedule a public hearing?
Yes. Can we schedule the public hearing with making those changes?
No, we have to have a finished copy to distribute before we can schedule a public hearing.
And we as a council have to schedule that, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, I think we need to see a document as soon as possible.
Agree.
Okay. All right. I think we should try and wrap up here so the next group can meet, unless there's something else you want to comment on.
I just have one quick comment. I guess I'm still a little torn or maybe confused possibly about, you know, you guys have said several times, you know, as far as the special use permit, basically, that we can't turn down a company basically unless they follow, or as long as they are following the state regulations and our ordinances. And,
right.
And then the Planning Commission is saying, you know, I guess, is there some way to still have something for the public? I don't know. I guess maybe I'm just torn, but I would like to know where our differences in opinion is coming from, I guess, between
Right. I think that the state is setting a standard for us to be confident in, and we're putting our confidence in the city manager to make sure all those things are in place.
Is there?
Part of my concern is that people thinking that they should be allowed to vet a business coming in and what they look like, where they're situated, when we don't do that with any other business. This is such a unique situation. I just think it's out of the norm, and that I'm opposed to that process.
Right. I know you are, but I guess is there a way to, if the, you know, I don't doubt Tom's judgment. You know, I think Tom does a great job as far as that, but let's say something came through and some members on the council said, whoa, hey, then would it be out of line to have, say, you know, we'll go with what the city manager and the zoning administrator says, as long as the council doesn't step in and make them go through a process. I don't know. Would that be illegal, I guess, or you know what I'm saying?
Well, you're picking and choosing then which companies would have to do the extra.
Right. I would think that
would not, you have to treat everyone the same.
Well, and if I may just add, I would like to respond to John Costin and Dave. David, I agree with them in terms of this is not any retail business like any other next door to them. There's an age requirement, first of all, to enter the store anyway, and it's not the same as going in and buying pearls. So I think that you have to, I understand what you're saying about treating all businesses the same. This is not like all businesses currently in our city.
I just think that's a mindset.
Well, it's also, you look at the amount of regulations and hoops that the state makes them jump through is a lot
and
more
I,
than...
And I think eventually all those will go away too.
Well, when they do, then we can modify our plan.
Yeah. Well, we can be leaders too. All right. Can I have a motion to adjourn?
I will move to adjourn.
Second.
All right. Thank you. Good night, all.
Good night.
Can you send me a Zoom to the Planning Commission?